searching for a way to check out and escape. As you scroll Netflix, trying to find something interesting that you haven't already watched three times, you may experience a sinking feeling in your stomach. That feeling is having to come to grips with today's sponsor of the show, Reality. No subscription required, no cancellation option available. Reality will always be there waiting for you whether you like it or not. Unlike distractions, Reality doesn't care about your preferences. Is your feed full of pleb slop not enough to make you bullish anymore? Reality offers an unfiltered experience featuring struggle, pain, and consequences. Side effects may include noticing patterns, asking uncomfortable questions, and suddenly understanding that you may have very little control over the world around you. If exposure lasts longer than 4 hours, you may begin saying phrases like, "Wait, how do I benefit from this?" You may attempt to mute reality, but previous users reported it getting louder. So today, instead of attempting to try and escape, try stepping outside, staring into the distance, and accepting that incentives run the world. Reality, proud sponsor of The Bugle.
Folks, we are recording this minutes away from the start of the spectacle, the biggest spectacle for the plebs. It is the day of the Super Bowl. It is Super Bowl Sunday 2026. No idea what's going to happen. There's a lot of controversy rolling into it. So as you listen to this, you're probably going to be witnessing the aftermath. There's so many ways that this could go. I think some easy predictions for this. Predator is going to be mad about the commercials. Coinbase is probably going to sponsor it. Those damn shitcoiners sponsoring the spectacle. There's going to be the Epstein client list run around, you know, parading themselves. Jack Dorsey, you know, wearing an Epstein shirt instead of a Satoshi shirt this year, hanging out with Jay-Z again. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we could see, there's been predictions that Trump's going to start bombing Iran as his way to outdo the halftime show. You know, there could be protests. That, you know, the plebs might be mad and getting in fist fights, you know, as they're booing Bad Bunny or whatever. No idea what's going to happen, but this is the biggest spectacle in the fiat world for the fiat plebs, in the way that the Bitcoin Magazine conference is the PodConf Super Bowl for Bitcoin people. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been an interesting week. What you got going on, Rod?
Think about what's happening. We got rid of all of our illusions that the four-year cycle theory, is it back? Is it broken? It's back. The bull market is officially, we're the off season for Bitcoin. Bitcoin podcasters, just Bitcoin on Twitter. They've done a time, tuned it down the algorithm. The Bitcoin off season is begun. We got, you know, all the stuff in the ICE shootings, all that stuff is, then wrapped up. There's, you know, nothing's changing. The outrage, the fucking situation everybody's monitoring, it did not lead to, like, we didn't get any big time arrests. Tim Walz didn't get arrested. The ICE didn't leave. It's going to drag on. So nobody cares about that anymore. The one thing we've got in our lives, at least most of the normies, the NPCs, your brother-in-law, you know, the guy who asked, did you see the game last night? The last distraction they've got, they've been holding on too tight, is football. They love sports ball. They love DraftKings, and they love gambling on who's going to, you know, throw a touchdown in their fantasy football league. It's college football, another time it's over. It's winter time. Things are boring. There's no distractions anymore from all those, the signs that we're passing through and ending the fourth term. And so that we're all changing today. It's like the pleb slot spectacle. It's going to be AI companies, AI slop. It's going to be, you know, you see that video, the yellow M&M clapping cheeks, being all sexy, AI slops like that. Dude, they're going to be throwing it in your face. It's going to be, you know, a gay Latino woke guy in a dress wearing fuck ice saying no he's illegal on stolen land, just to get all the boomers right. Get your dad at the Super Bowl party walking out of the room, throwing his, throwing the remote control to TV, ruining the rest of the game. You got all the commercials that are going to be, hey, you should still be patriotic, even if your president's a retard, or saying that we need more compassion. You got like gay Olympic lesbian athletes and gay hockey players morally lecturing you about, you know, and everybody's going to be watching their area get together and they're going to be pissed off. And everybody's been trying not to talk politics with their Aunt Susan and their freaking Uncle Gary, the fucking ordinary pleb there. It's going to spark. It's going to spark. It's going to be a powder keg. People are going to be arguing politics. And that's what they want you to do. That's why they put Bad Bunny in a dress. And unless you can convince everybody at the party to go on YouTube to watch TPUSA and Erica Kurt shooting fireworks out of her pussy and fucking Kid Rock singing baller to ball. You know what I mean? Like, it's, this is what we're stuck with tonight. It's going to be a crazy night. And that could be when Trump launches the war in Iran. As soon as the fireworks go off after the MVP is awarded, boom, a B-2 bomber's dropping, you know, it's frame mogging Iran, frame mogging the Olympics as the alpha of the ratings and the slop. Where's the slop advertisement going after this?
Yeah, I think they're trying to get the plebs as angry as possible. We were discussing before recording that this is like the last of the distractions for a while. And, you know, we're getting to the point, I think we've gotten through the worst of winter. I could be wrong on that, but I think it's only, you know, getting warmer from here. Like, we're entering quickly into, might be a couple storms, but we're very close to the thaw. And as the things start to thaw, you're going to see the plebs fighting each other in the streets more and more. And, individuals are using the information being released in the Epstein files to their political advantage, however they can. They're all scrambling, you know, to use the revelations against their political opponents right now to wield it. And this feels like the calm before the storm. It's the pleb slop Super Bowl is going to lead to full-on pleb slop warfare.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be the last year's paper Bitcoin summer. This year is going to be the summer of pleb-on-pleb violence. Plebs are going to be getting in each other's faces at Bitcoin conferences, at Bitcoin meetups. People are going to show up and try to frame mog and rep the signal for BIP 110, and people at their meetup might, you know, agree with them. They might throw them out. The conference might throw them out. People might get sick of the debates and throw out one side or the other, but the plebs are going to be at each other's throats and they're fighting over the future of Bitcoin.
It's going to be an interesting fight.
But there's no, you're right. There's no more distractions. So there's no more distractions from the Epstein files. It's all over. The Christmas holiday season is over. The Clarity Act that they're dragging out, he didn't end the war with Russia. There's all the shows, all the announcements, they've fallen flat, and people are starting to see through it. They see like this is a distraction from Epstein. So now we're talking about Epstein, and especially after tomorrow, unless there's a war in Iran. But people are still, podcasters are still talking about the Epstein files. Is there going to be any forthcoming announcements of any material value, of any moral signal about the Epstein files, or is this just going to be more Epstein slop?
I think it's going to be a lot of slop. I mean, it's we've talked a lot about this on the show, but you know, we're just at this interesting point where TikTok got taken over by the Epstein list, and you know, they've been limiting the information being spread on there about Epstein. So the broccoli-haired Zoomers are scrambling, trying to figure out what to do about that because they want a rage post about the stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think where we're at is they're going to try and use the Epstein files as a distraction from the Epstein files. Like, that, they're just flooding the system. They're talking about Satoshi being Epstein. They're spewing all this slop to get you tied up arguing about nonsense. And it's a big, giant demoralization mechanism to make the plebs just feel as awful as possible. And, you know, they're going to take advantage of the awful feeling plebs and be like, you need to take those feelings and direct your anger at this person or in this direction. You need to march with your whistles and go attack these guys. And like plebs, they're just going to be bouncing around. They're just cannon fodder, you know, bouncing around like pinballs wherever they're directed. And it's going to be chaotic, to say the least.
Yeah, it's last year, we thought we were getting the strategic Bitcoin reserve, $1 million Bitcoin, paper Bitcoin summer. Everything was going well. Ross was out of jail. And we had defeated the woke. But we defeated the woke only for what? For people to be saying that Satoshi went to Epstein Island, for people to be bringing back environmental Bitcoin lining fud, for people to be parading, having a woke Super Bowl halftime. That's all we want. And it's, you know, winning doesn't feel fun. So this is, you know, this is Gloria's fault. This is Shinobi's fault. We have to fix Core. Apparently, it's rebellion against nothing can distract them from their anger at Core. It's Core derangement.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seems like, you know, the goal right now of the people ruling the world is to instill some form of derangement syndrome in the entire population, and everybody's got their different flavor of derangement syndrome, but everybody seems to be developing it in one way or another, universally.
It doesn't mean that they're wrong, right? Like, there's no Trump syndrome is deranged, you know, in a stolen democracy. And maybe everybody has to realize that the thing they're deranged about has to be fixed, but it's only going to work if we help fix everybody else's their derangement, and we solve their derangement problems first. We have to work together and prioritize it. And yes, Trump is, he should not be, and he's a bad politician. He's retarded. He's racist. Whatever they say, it's like, I can't argue against it. Like, you can't tell me he's not funny. You can't tell me he's not the first pleb president. But, you know, he's not a moral person. He's in the Epstein files along with everybody else. But, you know, it doesn't mean that's the first problem we have to solve. So, like, how do we start thinking about being respectful of other people's derangement syndromes and working together to agree which derangement syndromes overlap so we can start focusing on macro derangement syndromes instead of worrying about our individual micro derangement syndromes?
Yeah, I like this idea of being tolerant of other people's derangement syndromes. Instead of people listing their preferred pronouns and their bios, and you start referring to their preferred derangement syndromes, and that way you know how to be inclusive to other people and not to, you know, trigger them. You know, because it's almost like you go to a party, everybody needs to write their preferred derangement syndrome on name tags to prevent a civil war from happening. So, like, you know, you're talking at a party, you see their name and then their preferred derangement syndrome, and then you could just start feeding into it, and then all of a sudden you guys have something to talk about, versus, you know, trying to come up with conversation topics about, you know, interesting things. You can just have each other feed each other the preferred slop.
Yeah, you work on dating sites. Like, hey, my name is Rod Palmer, and I have Trump derangement syndrome. Or my name is Rod Palmer, and I have core derangement syndrome, or I have Nazi derangement syndrome, or I have, there's a lot of different derangements. Some of them are really weird. Like, some people crash out about Lynn Alden being hot. They have Lynn Alden is hot derangement syndrome. And it's very, people need to understand it while it's okay to crash out. You're crashing out is not the end of the world. Crashing at light, there's life after you crash out. It is not a death sentence to crash out. But every time you crash out, especially the more publicly you do it, you're giving people information about topics or things that get you very riled up emotionally in ways that you can't control yourself, and you make impulsive, self-destructive decisions. Or just, bad or worse decisions than usual. You want to keep your derangement syndrome personal. It's like it's a personal thing, and you don't want people to know it. So it's almost like, instead of having derangement syndrome pride, some people believe that your derangement syndrome is between you and God, or they don't care about what derangement syndrome adults have in the privacy of their bedroom. Maybe it's more of a keep it private, or at least, signal, hey, please excuse my condition. I have a derangement syndrome.
I don't think the pioneers are walking around with derangement syndromes. So I think it's going to be very difficult for the pioneers to want to interact with the average pleb population, because it's just going to be so exhausting. It's like,
you don't have to let your derangement syndrome define you. You don't have to let your crash outs and your derangement syndromes define your life. You can start a podcast. You can vibe code the future. Your life can truly begin after a crash out if you do it right.
Well, I do think in some ways podcasting could be a way to counteract derangement syndromes, because this has been a thing for a long time. Like, people like Joe Rogan were always talking about how revolutionary podcasting is like a vehicle to get to know somebody, because you listen to individuals over a period of hours versus like how media used to operate, where you just got quick sound bites from them. Being interviewed by a news anchor or whatever, you got to know a lot about them. You got to see how they conversed, their facial expressions, stuff like that. Podcasting is not a good medium for people with derangement syndrome to be on. Because like, just an extended 2-hour crash out is, we saw this with Saylor. We saw Saylor's crash out, and just how brutal it was to listen to. It's not a great medium for people operating with some sort of derangement syndrome. It's a good medium, for individuals that are aware, a little bit more self-aware and in control, to try and, manipulate people to form some sort of derangement syndrome, because we see that a lot. But I think, it's awesome. One of the things I love to see is people that have a form of derangement syndrome go on a podcast and talk to somebody that doesn't. And they crash out. And so everybody can see it. Everybody can see that behind the derangement syndrome it's not a lot of thought. It's just a lot of emotion. I think the pioneers in many ways are insulated from it, and this is like one of the challenges, over the next year, that many of us are gonna, grapple with, is just, where do we go to feel at home, to not feel like we're going crazy as everybody is running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And, you know, the cigarette smoker has been dealing with this for a long time. And we all know that the smoking pit is the place of safety in a lot of ways. But we have to expand the smoking pit significantly.
Is Nos Turkana like a digital smoking pit for people who maybe they're about to crash out and they need to go get some perspective, or they need to go crash out where the user experience is pretty bad? So by the time they figure out how to punish their crash out, they've had some time to reflect. They have, like, you know, time to post a more constructive crash out. Try to find the positive in their crash out. People can go there and it'll take a while for anybody to see their content, and they probably won't get a whole lot of interaction. So, you know, it's like you can have it out there in the void. You can crash out into the void. And at the end of the day, you can still, you know, ask for permission to have your crash out deleted. It maybe nobody will see it, like, in it, but it solves it. It lets you go through the ritual of crashing out. Like, before you crash out on the Twitter timeline or on TikTok, go to, like, a rehab on Oster.
Yeah, I don't know. I recently learned of a Noster alternative that John Carvalho is doing. I learned about it today. I'd never heard of it before. Called PubKey. Have you heard of it? It's like a it's like if Noster is the alternative to Twitter, John Carvalho's PubKey is the alternative to Blue Sky, is what I was told.
Yeah, I think I like it. I like the concept because it is named, you know, it's named after the bar in New York City in Washington, D.C. So that's it. It's, you know, it's kind of stealing valor a little bit there to, like, hijack the people, like, oh, you've heard of my new venture, PubKey. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that. Cool. Yeah. It feels good, but it's also, it's kind of a back to tradition, or like kind of like back to our forefathers. It's, where did your father and your grandfather go to crash out in his day? He went to the bar and he got drunk and he smoked cigarettes and he hung out. And, you know, if you're going to crash out, go to PubKey. Go to PubKey, have a few beers, hang out, smoke some cigarettes. It's for guys to get on crash out after work. Happy hour crash outs.
You're saying the social media app is, or the bar is the place to crash out?
Well, it's both, right? Like, that's the image that you're evoking, right? It's like, if you can't go to the PubKey in New York City because you don't live nearby, you can go on PubKey the app and you can crash out. Well, you know, in Austin, you go say good morning. On PubKey, you go crash out. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think Blue Sky is essentially the social media app that people go to crash out on, about what people are saying on, what Trump's saying on either Truth Social or what people are saying on Twitter, right?
Are you excited? Do you think it'll be an Oscar commercial, Super Bowl commercial? Jack will be up there like, hey, she used this new app I made called Noster. It's decentralized. It's peer-to-peer. It's great. It's like, if you're sick of all the slop on Twitter, you come to Noster. Like, I mean, I don't know. I know in Noster, I don't think they're Super Bowl ads can be too creative, but maybe they'll surprise us.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I doubt there'll be a Noster commercial, but that, you know, that'd be pretty awesome if there was. I'm wondering if there's going to be a paper Bitcoin commercial.
Which paper Bitcoin company do you think would have the best or best Super Bowl commercial? BlackRock, Coinbase,
probably IBIT. They've done commercials in the past, right?
Yeah, they have. MicroStrategy commercial, perhaps.
I watched a little bit of an investor call with MicroStrategy, and they brought Larry Leppard on to just spew plebslop. It was incredible.
Oh, well, Larry was probably a little bit grumpy about the blow off top and gold. And if you didn't see, you know, he's probably a little bit grumpy about that, like having a big crash. And then Bitcoin's having a huge drawdown. And he's an ordinary guy as it is. He's an ordinary guy in the bull market.
He hit all the greatest hits in like a 2 minute monologue.
Which ones did he hit?
Well, he talked about gold. He talked about silver. He talked about time preference. He talked about how buying whatever the product. It wasn't like MSTR. It was one of the other derivatives that they sell. He was talking about how low time preference it was to buy it. And he mentioned Saifedean. And he, like you said, Lynn Alden's name. Nothing stops his train. She was sitting on the call. It was incredible. Like he literally ran through the greatest plebslop hits in like 2 minutes, just boom, boom, boom.
And I kind of feel empathy for, I don't know. I just feel for the shareholders. No shareholder wants to hop on a call, hop on a numbers call. And they brought in Larry Leppard to start with some low time preference slop. And it's like, the shares are going down, man. Buff stops this train, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really ever sat on those investor calls before.
My plan is, when you go into an investor call and you want to open the investor call with, Bitcoin is a, digital turbine engine with volatility, and you want to hear one of those thermodynamic, hype speeches from the man himself, Michael Saylor. You don't want Larry Leppard grumpy talk about low time preference and repeating the pledge slop how quantitative easing is just around the corner. That's what they've been saying for years, and we're just in the time of a lot of podcasts with grumpy macro elders kind of wondering why their macro voodoo just isn't, it doesn't work anymore. It's like, I thought this was the fourth turning. I thought my macro insights, my treasury knowledge, thought this was getting you somewhere. If they don't know it's the first turning, they're pretty grumpy right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to some macro this week because, last Monday, trying to figure out what's going on with the markets. It just seemed like pure chaos. And, so I was listening to James Lavish on what Bitcoin did. And it seems like, all the macro guys have kind of essentially descended onto saying the same things over and over again, which is they're going to print more money. They can't stop printing money. They talk about the new Fed chair and they speculate. They say a bunch of information about what he thinks and what he's thought in the past. And then they speculate on what he's going to do. And then they, but it doesn't really mean anything. And then talk about how Bitcoin's going to go up eventually, and then they say the word liquidity a lot, and they say liquidity is tight right now, so this is why the markets are behaving this way, and liquidity, it'll go up eventually.
Macro slop. Yeah. It's macro slop, yeah. Just pure, they've got nothing new, just re-digested macro slop.
Well, they can't seem to say the words, we have no idea what the fuck's going to happen or what's going on.
Even they bring up the legend, they hit the heavy hitters, Paul Tudor Jones. We're like, all right, Paul Tudor Jones, talk about Bitcoin again. Let's listen. And it's, he's saying that a bunch of angry plebs have Bitcoin in a hardware wallet. That means that, it's never going to zero. It's like, that's what you've been saying since 2020. We need something more for why we should be bullish. And they just, They're letting down. They're letting people down. They're letting in. The people they're letting down most are the broccoli haircuts. Broccoli haircuts are begging for a mentor, for an old mackerel elder to pull them under their shoulder and tell them that everything is going to be fine because the Fed has their back into a corner and they have to tease this. But we're not going to be able to pay the interest on the national debt. And they're like, we can't count on you guys anymore. We can't count on our elders to lead us into the first turning. Like, we have to launch our own TikTok macro. And that's where the TikTok macro is coming from. That's where these Zoomers are taking over prediction markets and meme coins, and they're generating their own liquidity because the macro elders and the M2 chart, it's not effective anymore. It's not useful anymore.
Yeah, if I'm going to listen to a macro podcast, I want to hear something more insightful than what I would hear Nico and Opti say on Simply Bitcoin. Like, I need more than Simply Bitcoin slop to capture my attention these days. Because I'd much rather listen to Aaron Redwing speculate about astrology. I think that's way more, because at least it's, like, different than just hearing them all kind of regurgitate and say the same things over again about how the government's going to print more money and it's going to make the price of Bitcoin go up. It's just...
The planets are saying, you guys, everybody seems to get a high. Give the benefit of the doubt for having, a high time preference once in a while, except for the plebs. The plebs they can't afford to have high time preference. So they just want to be rewarded for having low time preference. And the macro elders have been giving them hope that as long as they maintain a low time preference, they will be rewarded. Every 5 year time period, it is outperformed the S&P 500, like, because only 21, you need to read the Bitcoin standard. Yeah, and it's just not working out. The low time preference doesn't seem to be benefiting people. So what's the, where's the reason to be out?
Well, I do think the low time preference is benefiting people because we're seeing the shift. The summer is going to be white goy summer, which is all about low time preference. It's about working out. It's about getting in shape. It's about taking your sovereignty back from your lawyer, from your accountant. I do see there being significant benefits of low time preference, but the this is kind of the paradox of feeling the rewards of low time preference is that oftentimes it takes a little bit for the reward to be realized. So the high time preference pleb wanting to be a low time preference pleb may not have the patience to experience it.
Do you think that that the legends at Iron Energy are going to have a Super Bowl commercial this year?
They could.
What about Swan? You think Swan's going to get their commercial finally, or they're going to get outbid by Coinbase?
No, I think they blew all their budget on Tucker Carlson. And now Corey's spending their entire budget on Claude tokens to come up with reasons why Howard Lutnick is the reason why Tether is going to crash, because he's on the Epstein link or list.
What about a Tether commercial?
We very well could see a Tether commercial. That'd be pretty interesting. I don't know. What do you think? What crypto commercials are you expecting in the sports bowl, the Super Sports Bowl?
We'd be surprised to see Saz Mining have an ad. That'd be pretty. Maybe Marathon, the miners, they might do like an ad to talk about Slipstream. So you can hey, you can sell the NFTs on Bitcoin. Or do you think there will be any quantum slop commercials? what, yeah, Nick Carter could be on there. He could be his VC fund.
BIP 110 commercial.
BIP 110. See that or BIP 110 merch and the new Rug the Spammers t-shirt collection by Knots is available at Hot Topic starting on Monday.
I haven't been in a shop in like a mall for a long time. That's where the only place where there's Hot Topic, right? In malls.
Yeah, exactly. Shopping malls next to like a Abercrombie and Fitch and, you know, JCPenney's.
I guess it's a good deal for Proof of Ink. But he's the one that does all their shirts. But yeah, that'll be interesting.
Are you excited for the Super Bowl halftime show? Are you gonna watch Kid Rock on TPU USA? Or are you going to watch Bad Bunny on this, on the Super Bowl, on the Super Bowl channel?
I don't know. I might have to. I don't think I'm going to watch it because you can't get the Super Bowl streaming on your typewriter. You know what I mean? But
are they going to stream it on Zap.stream?
I'm sure somebody will. Actually, that's kind of interesting. I imagine somebody's going to have a bootleg version of the Super Bowl on Zap.stream.
Or at least, like, maybe somebody should have a stream and watch the Super Bowl, like a Super Bowl party stream.
That's a good idea for fundamentals.
Yeah. Let's go live on Oster, Zap.stream, make fun of Sports Ball, and Eddie did. They make your own Oster commercial.
I don't get excited by the spectacle. I mean, I think I'm just too deep into Bitcoin podcast to even care at this point.
This is what people got to learn. It's like it doesn't matter if you care about sports ball. The entire world is shutting down essentially. You're either going to a bar, it's like a party, or you're stuck at home trying to, you know, crash out on Noster or so, whatever, and you don't make into the algorithm because you're not part of the spectacle. So if you start a stream, you have your own super, you use this as an occasion for people who are coming together to look to pay attention to the same thing or avoid pay attention to the same thing. So, you know, have a live stream for live on Noster, Zap.stream. Hang out for your friends in the group chat. It's the Super Bowl, whether you like it or not. Might as well do something fun with it.
I don't know. I'm just so uninterested. I don't care. I'd rather listen to Bitcoin podcasts. I know like Fundamentals has put out like 100 Bitcoin podcasts this week that I could possibly listen to. And then Chadrack's been sending some good ones in the group chat as well. There's going to be a lot of players that don't get, they just don't care about the Sports Bowl. Like, I mean, you've got Twitter and you got Noster, and if anything notable happens on there, you can read Pledator's take on why the Coinbase commercial sucked. You don't have to watch it live. They're going to like do commercials for like, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's been so uninteresting the last few years. And, you know, maybe there will be a lot of controversy, but it's kind of like, why do you have to watch it in the moment to experience it? You can just kind of see the highlights afterwards.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. I just think, you know, there's a lot of people who like monitoring the situation. And part of, you know, it'd be for youngsters out there, it used to be, wasn't just the Super Bowl. You'd come together every Sunday night to watch The Sopranos on HBO or Game of Thrones. You watch a new episode of Seinfeld or a new episode of Home Improvement. Tim the Toolman Taylor. And you go to work the next day or you go to your group chat, whatever the version of the group chat was at the time. And you talk about it. Everybody's like, what was your reaction to the gay Puerto Rican guy in a dress? And it's like, well, what was your reaction to, I thought we were going to get S-22s, B-2s, were they going to Iran? But like, wherever you said, everybody came together. And it was like a moment. And like that is, you don't get so much of that anymore nowadays. But monitoring the situation is kind of bringing people back to that. And the Super Bowl is one of those situations. It has become its own situation. It's a pre-scheduled situation that everybody seems in to monitor. And some people like that. Some people like to monitor. They like to do the in real time reactions. Because if you post a meme after somebody's already done it, people are just going to accuse you of stealing ballot.
What happens if the bombs do start dropping mid Super Bowl?
Put in split screen, watching Operation Shock and all Iran with Seahawks versus the Patriots.
Well, I'm trying to think if anything else interesting happened this week. People are upset about vague posts, whatever that means.
Vague posts is a epidemic. Vague slop. It's vague slop.
So I think, one of the noteworthy things going on is Predix has a market for BIP 110 activation, and Luke's out there running around talking about how prediction markets are a scam, which I don't really understand that take. My opinion, it sounds like Luke is lying. But we're looking at the odds of BIP 110 activation on Predix is currently 13.6%. Need Creations is all wound up about it. He wants his buddies to throw down on the market. I don't think he's figured out how to set up his Lightning wallet yet. I don't know. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, my dogs are going crazy. Sorry. It's right now, prediction markets are exciting, but it is it's being abused by. It's just there's the sense of urgency. People have a sense of urgency that something big is going to happen, and they want to. They've been listening to podcasts, or they've been reading a lot of slop, and they think that this is their opportunity to front run the market, front run people, in trying to take you to the edge of all the stuff that's going on with astrology right now and macro and the fourth turning and the first turning. They're trying to make profit. Everybody's high time preference right now. And the fact that there was, people that are considered allies of Bitcoin Core were in the Epstein files. So this is a opportunity to, you have to exploit the opportunity of your enemies being in the Epstein files. But is it landing? Is it worth it? Are they getting the moral high ground?
Is who getting the moral high ground?
Or the Nazis have coalesced around focusing on their enemies. And this is not just them. This is everybody. This is everybody in society. Their derangement syndrome or their tribe, their side, they're circling the wagons, and they are targeting the fact that their enemies, their opposition, their rivals, or if they're in the Epstein files, they're exploiting that opportunity. Is it working? Are they gaining, are the people who are doing this gaining the moral high ground?
I mean, I don't think you really ever gain much from twisting yourself in knots and bouncing around like a pinball, completely uncalculated, just being used as
is it a victory lap for the libertarians? Is it a victory lap for Bitcoin University? Is it a victory lap for the Democrats? Like, is anybody actually looking better now that they're gloating and saying, we were right about the Epstein files. You should put us in charge. We should listen to us now. Is anybody like, yeah, let's listen to them.
I don't think so. I mean, it seems like, where are the libertarians at these days? It seems like they've just completely fallen off.
They're gloating. They're saying, see, we told you, the government is in the Epstein files. We told you, you listen to us.
What it seems like is individuals that, many of the individuals that have been saying these things for a long time are just getting completely pushed out of the front and center by individuals that are just kind of pivoting it to it and talking about it and freaking out. It's like the mainstream is just taking control of the conversation. And, you know, Shinobi's out there. He's demanding that people go and apologize to Mark and Whitney. I have yet to see anybody apologize to Mark and Whitney. You know, the people that were saying that they were too boring to listen to, you know, they're just like, oh yeah, you know, Ian Carroll's been talking about this stuff.
Ian Carroll, Roger Ver, they say, has been talking about this. The Kreuters are taking a victory lap. Everybody seems to think that they were right about this. It seems like everybody is trying to take credit for being right about nature of our political system, result of the Epstein files. They're saying that they are vindicated as a result of the Epstein files, but no, none of them, like, you need, none of them contributed to the Epstein files even being released. Like, it was the podcasters, it was the Ian Carrolls, it was the TikTokers. So maybe it's time that the Broccoli Haircuts and the podcasters, maybe it's time to run things their way. Run things Joe Rogan style, Nick Fuentes, Nick Shirley, Mr. Beast, you name it.
I don't know. There's like this whole retarded complex of individuals that take anything interesting, they just kind of aggregate the information that's put out there and they just translate it into pleb slop, and they provide analysis and cover and spin to all of it. And I think most of the names you just mentioned exist in that realm. The Ian Carrolls, the Nick Shirleys, the Nick Fuentes. It's, I don't know, but I do believe the podcasters really have been the heroes in the story, for sure. This story would have completely gone and died had it not been for the podcasters, you know, demanding that they be released. But, you know, podcasting is the forefront of the warfare of information warfare right now. It is, you know, they tried to bring podcasters into running the FBI to help with the cover up of this stuff. That didn't work out very well. So, you know, I would say the podcasters are still in control, but it is very, tumultuous, to say the least. It's, but you know, you're seeing the shift because, it's podcasting isn't enough. Like, you have to podcast and then convert the podcast into short form content. And I think that the most successful podcasters have been excellent at this. So you gotta get the Gen Xers with the long form content and the millennials, and then you gotta get the Broccoli haircuts with the short form. And then Gen Alpha, you have even shorter attention spans than the Broccoli haircuts. It's pretty crazy. I don't know. What the generation that comes after Gen Alpha are going to have such short attention spans is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah. What, before we get to the boost, what are your predictions for what comes after, you know, like I said, today is the last day of football. The bread and circuses have reached the off season until even we can't even get into Maxi Madness today, but until Maxi Madness, the Plaids have nothing to distract them from their derangement syndromes. So what are your predictions? Like, what do you think is going to happen starting, you know, this week?
It's going to be like a bunch of ants in a jar with somebody shaking them. They're going to get real mad. The red ants are going to fight the black ants. And it's going to be chaos in the streets. And it's going to be volatile. It's going to be interesting for sure. But yeah, I think that's pretty, it's a pretty easy prediction to make, though. It's a good time to not live in a population-dense area, to say the least. Move out of the city a little ways. But, I don't know. Did you have any predictions you wanted to make before going to the booze?
I don't know. I think depends on the price. The price will tell us which direction we're going in terms of announcements and five checks on the temperature. And that'll be the truth. Like, are we going to war? Or what's going to happen? We'll know by the price. Is the bottom end? We'll find out. And are people going to crash out? We'll see how much volatility we have.
Be interesting.
There's going to be a lot of crash outs regardless.
Late Stage Hoddle, 6006 SAT says, thank you all for your banter and discussions. Lots of scary shit online lately with the releases. Really got me feeling grumpy. Looking back at October all-time high, wondering what the fuck happened. Don't give Bubba too much shit. He may have a jitterbug phone, but it fits better in your pocket for cross-country motorcycle trips. Richard, a bit of real-time feedback. You use the word interesting too repetitively. Can I send you a thesaurus for a late Christmas gift? Call it Mardi Gras gift. Y'all come visit for Mardi Gras next year. Yeah, I do say the word interesting too much. I've noticed that. And thank you for bringing that to my awareness. I will work on that. I don't think I need a thesaurus. I got one here. Fascinating, enlightening observation, Late Stage Huddle. And I would say on the grumpiness, is like, that's the point of these files. The files are meant to try and make you feel grumpy. Don't let them get you grumpy. That's letting them.
Yeah. Don't let FC make you grumpy. No, 5,115 sats. Long-time listener, first-time zapper. Thanks for sharing my glazing song. 40 hours per week made me the credentialed musician I am today. Keep up the awesome work. Now, is that the song we got in our mentions of, like, we were recording the other night? Okay. That was a good one. Vegas, great. We would love for people to glaze us with their art, glaze us with their music, glaze us with their praise. Keep it coming, guys. Keep it coming. Well, we will share it. All good glaze will be shared.
Thank you, Nope. It was a fun song to listen to. Sasha, 2100 SAT says, great show. Thank you. Are y'all going to the next 100K party? I don't think so. I'm just not much of a 100K party type person. It sounds like Adam Back's going to be hosting the new one because everybody thinks he's cooler than Sailor because of the Epstein files. But I don't know. Rod, you really want to go. You want nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I would love to go in, to be going to the 100K party. You know, it just depends on if they value credential journalists at their party. But if I'm invited, yeah, I will be there.
Cool.
Next one, 1,000 sats from Bubba. My jitterbug is a special zebra's bug. It's very chic. Don't be jealous. I'm in the second turning, which means I'm either 5 years ahead of my time or 25 years behind. I just don't know. Hell, I'm not sure I care. Mediocrity is the new Mensa. So Baba, Baba's like, you know, he's like an old cowboy drifter on his Harley, on his motorcycle. He's drifting in and out of turnings. He's reminiscing on his glory days and the, during Woodstock. He's got his jitterbug phone. It's his third turning phone in the first turning. He is a man of many turnings. Baba is he transcends the turnings. He can thrive in any one of them. That's why we love him.
Thank you for the boost, Baba. And back to Lake Stitch Hollow. We weren't giving Baba a hard time. Love Baba. Mediocrity is the new Mensa. I like that. But Nick Carter is trying to get himself into Mensa right now.
Like we said, everybody's dictionary to think boy when they got ChatGPT.
Naka's 18, 808 sats, says solid rip boys, not glazed, live a whole aloha. Well, thank you, Naka's.
521 sats, Doom Stoji, thank you for your time. Thank you for the sats.
God's Death says for 237 sats, says thank you, gentlemen. Well, you're welcome.
Then 2 100 sat boosts from BTC on board. Thumbs up emojis, heart, thumbs up emojis.
Well, thank you, guys. We've got some exciting things coming up in this first quarter of the year that we'll be announcing here in the near future, but there are a lot of projects being worked on behind the scenes. As you're listening to this, I'll probably have already published my newest Villains music video, but I also released, for our paid subscribers, released an episode of, you know, discussing Villains. I just thought it was a good topic and it was appropriate, but I am just put out the third episode of the Hero series, which you can go check out on Fountain. And yeah, it's going to be a big year for the Bugle folks. So thank you for everybody that's listening, supporting the show. Really appreciate it.
They are the villains that rule the world, but they are losing their control. You have to fight in order to survive. You have to fight to feel alive. Darkness fills their souls. They dominate to control. They are the villains who rule the world. Slaughtering the ones in their way. By those who disobey, they'll burn it to the ground in order to wear a crown. They are the villains who rule the world. Violent real estate, where they determine the world's fate. Act so dark it hurts to know, hiding in the shadow. They are the villains who their game. They try to extinguish your flame. Trapped in a nightmare you can't escape. I know that your heart aches. To fight in order to survive, you have to fight to feel alive.